making Christ known today, community. Before we get into a community today, I want to talk to you a little bit about the Harvard study of adult development. How many of you have heard of this? Okay, well, I'm not surprised. It was new to me this week. For more than 75 years, Harvard University has been studying adult life. The Harvard study of adult development has been tracking more than 700 men year after year, asking them about home, their home life, their health, their work, and all the while not knowing where their lives might go, how their lives might turn out. And these kind of research projects are actually quite rare, because most research projects fall apart after about a decade. Funding dries up, researchers get distracted, the ball gets dropped. But this particular project has been going on, and it's under its fourth director, and it's that fellow up in the top corner there in the blue shirt. His name is Dr. Robert Waldinger. It started in 1938, and they focused on two groups of men. The first group were sophomores from Harvard, and these guys finished college, and many of them went off to World War II. And the second group of men they started tracking were a group of boys from the inner city of Boston. These young men came from poor, poor neighborhoods, living in tough conditions, many even without running water. As they tracked the lives of these men, they found that some became bricklayers and some became lawyers. Others became doctors. Some became factory workers. Some climbed the social ladder from the bottom, and others went the other way, right in the opposite direction. So giving a TED Talk, and many of you have maybe heard about these TED Talks. They're broadcasted, and you can find them on YouTube and throughout the internet. Dr. Waldinger, giving this TED Talk about his study that he's directing, he said this: "So what have we learned? What are the lessons that come from the tens of thousands of pages of information that we've generated on these lives? Well, the lessons aren't about wealth or fame or working harder and harder. The clearest message that we got from this 75-year study is this: good relationships keep us happier and healthier, period." He went on to say, "We've learned three big lessons about relationships. The first is that social connections are really good for us, and that loneliness kills. It turns out that people who are more socially connected to family, friends, or to community are happier, they're physically healthier, they live longer than people who are less well-connected. And the experience of loneliness turns out to be toxic. People who are more isolated than they want to be from others find that they are less happy, their health declines earlier in midlife, their brain functioning declines sooner, and they live shorter lives than people who are not lonely. And the sad fact is that at any given time, more than one in five Americans, and I would probably have to say it's probably similar statistics here, more than one in five Canadians, reports that they are lonely." What the Harvard experts have found is very interesting, but you may not be surprised by this. Their results certainly don't come as a surprise to God, because we learn from His Word that we're made to be in relationship. In fact, God said way back in Genesis chapter 2, let's read it together. "Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone." The Lord had this in mind right from the beginning of creation. Amazingly, God, who exists in relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, that's hard to wrap our minds around, but He exists in a relationship with Himself, in a community with Himself, has created us to be in community, in relationships. Lynn read from Psalm 133 earlier, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity, when brothers and sisters, when we all dwell in unity." This is true of our life in general, but it's even more specifically true of our life in Christ. The Christian life is not just about me and Jesus or about you and Jesus. He's called us to follow Him in community, not by ourselves, not doing some Lone Ranger thing, but with others, with His people. A great theologian named J.I. Packer said this: "We should not think of our fellowship with other Christians as a spiritual luxury, an optional addition to the exercises of private devotion. We should recognize rather that such fellowship is a spiritual necessity For God has made us in such a way that our fellowship with himself is fed by our fellowship with other Christians and requires to be so fed constantly for its own deepening and enrichment. Jesus modeled this in his ministry on earth, and he called his disciples to follow him in community with one another. They did life together with Christ at the center. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who I referenced a few weeks ago, the German theologian who was put to death at the end of just before World War II ended, he wrote a great book called Life Together. It's about faith in community. And he put it in his book that Christian community is a gift of God. It's not some ideal which we must realize, but rather it is a reality God created in Christ in which we may participate. Because the community we share is founded on Jesus Christ, and because he binds us together in one body, we share together. And what we share differs from other community organizations. In fact, I don't think of ourselves as an organization, more like an organism, something that is alive. We think of ourselves as a movement. That is the church. The body of Christ, this community of faith, is precious to him. It's so precious that he gave his life for his church. Perhaps you remember from Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Let's remember this great love that God has for his church. God loves his church. Now, sometimes people talk bad about the church. Even Christians talk bad about the church. But let's remember, the church is the bride of Christ that God sent his son to give his life for. Being a part of the body of Christ is not a duty. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. And for this, we give thanks. Now, when I think of the word community and this togetherness, this fellowship, you know, sometimes we use kind of Christian-y words here. Two words that come to my mind that are found frequently in the New Testament are one another. Just to say the words one another, would you? One another, right. And Jesus uses these words several times, and they're found frequently in the New Testament. And it's important that we remember them. What I want to do today is look at some of these instances of these one another's in the New Testament. Because Jesus didn't say, love yourself. Although, you know, it's not a bad idea to love yourself. We need to take care of ourselves, okay? But Jesus said, love one another, didn't he? Jesus didn't say, serve yourself. He said, serve one another, right? Those are the first kind of two that I want to draw our minds to. Love one another. We've noticed several times in John's Gospel that Jesus said, love one another. I made a little blue fridge magnets, and I've been in some of your homes, and I've seen some of these blue fridge magnets that you have up, and I'm glad. That reminder to love one another as Christ has loved us. Well, you see, I put the references down there. Jesus says it multiple times in John. I put one record there, but we also find it in Romans. And then in 1 John, this love one another comes up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 2 John. It's repeated often, right? And I think we get the picture. Love one another. We could talk a lot about that, and maybe you'd like to go back and the archive some of my messages where we delved into that a little deeper. Jesus also said to wash one another's feet, and we could also say that's like serving one another. I want to read from this Galatians 5 passage, which says this, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. There you have both the love and the serve together. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Wow. So these are a couple of the one another's that Jesus uses. Love one another. Serve one another. I'm going to list another 10, okay? And each 10 could be a whole sermon in themselves, but don't worry, I'm not going to preach a whole sermon on all 10. So they're going to be, in total, there'll be 12 one another's today. And at the end, I'm going to put them all up there. And what I want you to be thinking about today is being open in your heart. Which one of these or two of these or three of these one another's is God really bringing to your heart and mind and speaking to you about? Maybe we've covered one of them already. Maybe it is this love one another or serve one another. Maybe you feel already the Holy Spirit just kind of pushing you in an area of service or love. Now, and this may seem like a side note. It may seem like a bit of a tangent, but it's not. So bear with me for a minute. It's natural to wonder what's expected of us when we join a church or become part of a church. Whether we've, and you know what? You may be wondering kind of what's expected if you've been here 5 years, 10 years, 5 months, doesn't matter. So a couple of years ago, I was reading a book, and I discovered there's a particular congregation elsewhere in North America. I don't even remember where it was. And they have this equation expression, or an expression in an equation. And so it's I'm going to call it a community equation. And what they have is this thing called 1 plus 2. Okay? What does it stand for? And it stands for this. 1, come and worship on Sundays. 2, connect and serve. Connect in a group and serve. So you could tell this is tied together with community. It's tied together with what we've talked about so far and Jesus saying, serve one another. But you might be wondering, you know, what should I be doing here? You know, I come on Sundays, maybe that's it. So here's an expression I would love to be like, just like the air we breathe around here. 1 plus 2. We're going to be 1 plus 2 people here at Gilmore. 1, that we come to worship regularly, weekly, if we can. I know some of you work every other Sunday or whatever, but 1 plus 2. So we come, number 1, but add 2 things, connect in a group and serve in some way. Now, some of you are looking at that equation and you're saying, I'm like a 1 plus 5, Ben. I connect in multiple groups and I serve in multiple ways and I, you know, praise God, I celebrate that. But some of you might be like 1 plus 0 right now or 1 plus 1. But this is an ideal. This is a hope, okay? I don't even want to call it an expectation because I don't want to lay a heavy on you guys. But this is what would be my hope, and I think all the deacons, if we all stood up as your spiritual leaders here, I think we'd all agree. This would be our hope for us all. 1 plus 2, okay? That's our community equation. We might get that on a poster sometime. You might see that up. But this is important. So just make a mental note of it. Perhaps the nominating committee, which is going to meet this week, actually. And this was not planned. The nominating committees meet. They're going to we ask people to serve in the church. You might get a call. Say, would you serve? And remember what Jesus said. Wash one another's feet. Serve one another. So I'm going to keep moving on, okay, to the one another's that we find beyond the Gospels, beyond the first 4 books of the New Testament. And there are 10 that I want to point out, okay? There are more than 10, but I want to point out 10. And some of them I've kind of summarized. First one is this, live in harmony with one another. Live in harmony with one another. Let's read Romans 12:16 together, okay? Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. This is a lot like what Lynn read for us from Psalm 133. Behold, how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. Here's a one another that I think is quite important. Live in harmony with one another. Again, these one another's are in the context of the church. Yes, we want to live in harmony. We want to work in harmony at our offices, and we want to be in harmony at our schools or wherever it is. But think primarily today of the context of this setting, the local church. Live in harmony with one another. Second one I want to point out is honor and care for one another as part of the body of Christ. Honor and care for one another as part of the body of Christ. The text is a little more lengthy, so I didn't put it all up there. But just listen as I read this from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, well, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. And if all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor can the head say to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body which we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. There's the one another. You were looking for it. The body may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. That's an incredible passage there from 1 Corinthians 12. And that great illustration that we can really understand. The body is made up of many parts, and we need every part working together. And we need to care for one another as part of the body of Christ. If one part suffers, we all feel it together. So on Thanksgiving Monday, I was playing some soccer with some of my nephews over in Campbellford. And I was playing soccer in Crocs, which is not a good idea, acting like I was as energetic and as flexible as they were. And at one point, I tried to, chip the ball up high, and I just kicked the ground. I just kicked it really hard. And I have a purple toe down here now from that. So I'm walking a lot better now, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I was kind of hobbling. And that was just one little part of my body. One little toe was affecting my whole walk and my whole, feeling. That day, it was let me tell you, I was in a lot of pain. I thought I broke that toe, but I was just being a big baby, I guess. But you get the understanding, right? Like, when one part suffers, we suffer together, and we need to care, right? If someone's hurting in the body, let's care. I put that ice on there. I had to care for that toe. If that's going to heal right and heal quickly, I got to take care of it. In the same way, as you look around, you might notice someone's not here today, or you might notice someone's hurting. You may have heard, and you will have already, that our worship director, her mother, passed away last night. And so that family's hurting. And so we need to pray for them. And for Brother Charles, whose wife passed away just a few weeks ago. Or, you know what I mean? It could be someone that lost a job. Or someone that is had something happen on their property and hurt themselves. Or whatever it might be. Could be an emotional wound. It could be a physical wound. It could be a social, an upset. Whatever it may be going on in someone's life, when you see someone hurting, let's care. And when you see somebody celebrating, celebrate with them. Sometimes it's harder to rejoice with those who rejoice than to weep with those who weep. But either way, let's be faithful to honor and care for one another as part of the body of Christ. Kind of related to that is the next one another, to bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6, verse 2. Let's read this together. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. This was like a law of Christ. This was something that Christ embodied in his life, and he wants his church to be faithful to. To bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. Next, I want to point out, to be kind and forgive one another. Well, where does this come from? Again, from Ephesians. Let's read it together. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. as God in Christ forgave you. Certainly, every time we see this one another, we get this community sense thing happening here. This one another-ness, one another-ing. I don't know, we can create some verbs out of this, these two words here today. Be kind to one another. Forgive one another as God in Christ forgave you. Now, this one is so huge because remember what Jesus said when he talked about prayer and he talked about forgiveness. He said, if we don't forgive, our Heavenly Father won't forgive us. If we want genuine community in the church, if we want to have the kind of, you know, authentic relationships and meaningful relationships that Jesus wants us to have with each other, this is huge. And if you forget where that came from, notice in, I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 6 for a second. Verse 14, if you forgive others their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Boy, that's strong words. Strong words. But the scripture is clear. Kindness, tenderness, forgiving one another. So is there someone you need to forgive? Is there someone that you've hurt that you need to go and reconcile with? Just asking the question, something to ponder and consider and take to the Lord today. Another one another is this. Submit to one another. Submit to one another. Where do we find that? Well, we read the reference this earlier, but Ephesians 5, 18 to 21, I'll read the larger passage. And do not get drunk on wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Boy, this can be a challenging one to think about. Submitting to one another, laying down our rights to ourselves. Oswald Chambers usually put it that way in his devotional, My Utmost for His Highest. Laying down our right to ourselves, submitting to one another. Jesus said, you know, think of others as better than yourselves, as the scripture says. So there's this idea of considering others better than yourself, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, this doesn't mean when someone walks all over you and treats you terribly that you just don't do anything about it. We need to be wise and be careful with this idea of submission. As some people have wrongly taken this verse out of context and been very unkind and said, well, you have to submit to me, so I'm going to treat you like this. And, oh, wait a second, that's not the spirit here, okay? The spirit is out of reverence for Christ. So with Jesus at the center, you know, we submit to Christ and others. So always we got to remember that order. So if someone is treating you poorly or in an ungodly way, what we got to remember is Christ comes first in our submission. And so if someone is treating you in an ungodly way in the community of faith I'm talking about right now, within the church, okay, that needs to be dealt with. That shouldn't stay that way, okay? Because remember, Christ is our ultimate, the ultimate one that we submit to. So if someone's treating you in a way that's ungodly, unchristian, unchristlike, don't just say, oh, I have to submit to that person. No, we submit to Christ, and if there's something that's out of whack or scriptural, then that needs to be dealt with and follow the Matthew 18 instruction on how to deal with that. Go to the person individually first, and if that person doesn't listen to you, follow the scriptural principles. Take it to the spiritual leaders, and then so on. So, but submit to one another. This is huge because we've all got some ounce of pride in us, don't we? Some of us have a little more than others, right? And submission and laying down our rights is laying down our pride and saying, no, I'm gonna humbly submit. I'm gonna humbly lift someone else up and let their way go forward. And, you know, usually this is a case where, you know, we might say, well, how might this happen in the church? Well, if there's a decisions that need to be made in the church, for example, red carpet or green carpet, well, I really like red, but I'm going to lay down that right. You know what? I'm not going to make this something to die on, a hill to die on. So, you know, we submitting to one another, boy, the love that comes out of that is incredible. That's just one example. Maybe it's a little far-fetched, but maybe not too far. Here's another one another that we need to get to. Teach and counsel one another as the word of Christ dwells in you. And where's this found? Colossians 3:16. Let's read it together. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Wow. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. So let's remember the word order here. It's let the word of God in our hearts, right? So as we're spending time in the word, as we're studying God's word, whether that's individually in personal devotion time or corporately in a Bible study, it's out of that we admonish and encourage one another. Okay? And that's huge. Then it's God's word doing God's work, right? It's not just our own ideas, and it's, you know, it's the Lord's work, and the psalms and the hymns, the spiritual songs, that's a beautiful part of that. Okay? Teach and counsel one another as the word of Christ dwells in you. It's not just about my ideas and, oh, this is what I think you should do with your life. No, it's like, okay, I'm going to study the word of God, and as God speaks to me through his word, you know, that's going to be the basis of my encouragement for others. Right? So that's actually quite important. Well, all these are, but here's another one. Stir one another up to love and good works. Stir one another up to love and good works. And where's this found? Hebrews 10:24. Let's read it together. And let us consider how to stir one another toward love and good works. Okay? There's another one another. There's that encouragement again. Encouraging others, stirring them up, spurring them on. Hey, you can do this. You go for it. You know, I'm going to be behind you. If you want to take on that project, if you want to take on you're going to want to be on that committee. You're not sure you can handle that? Oh, you're going to be the chair of that committee. Well, hey, you know what? You can do it. I'm going to support you in this. It's that kind of encouragement we need to do. We need to be, this needs to be a huge part of our lives. So this kind of follows that up. Therefore, encourage one another, build one another up as you are doing. The church in Thessalonica was clearly an encouraging church. How many of you want to be a part of an encouraging church? Yeah, I think we do, right? This church in Thessalonica was doing that, as you are doing. But Paul's just saying, hey, don't give up. Keep doing this. Keep encouraging one another. Keep building one another up. You know, my mom always said, when we build people up, it's like we put boxes on top of each other. Okay, these little boxes. You get this picture a stack of boxes. Okay, all it takes is one nasty comment, one mean-spirited act to knock all those blocks down, right? So let's be faithful, right, to keep building each other up. Because you don't know. You might say, well, I already encouraged that person. Well, you don't know if their wall just got knocked down. You know what has happened in their life for that day. So let's keep being about this encouragement, building each other up. Husbands, building up your wives. Wives, building up and encouraging your husbands. Parents, encouraging your kids, building them up. This is so, so huge. All right, we're getting near the end here. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. This you might find quite natural. This you might find like takes you way out of your comfort zone. But the Bible instructs us to do this. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person has great power, and it is working. Pray for one another. Pray. Confess your sin. We often don't think about that. Well, what's the value in me confessing my sin to someone else? Well, I'll tell you, there's great value. And I have accountability people in my life, and I think we all need accountability in our lives. when we confess our sin, I was just thinking about a men's group meeting last year when I said to the guys, I said, guys, I've been really impatient with my kids. I've been, and you know what? Just getting that out there was a huge help. And say, hey, I need prayer. I need prayer to be more patient with my children. Would you pray for me about that? And just not too long ago, I was in a meeting, and one guy was just acknowledging a troubled time in his past, an addiction to inappropriate material, and he had confessed that. He got that out on the table, and God has been giving this man victory because of that. So we need to confess. We need to be real with each other. And I'm not saying, you know, come here to the front and air your dirty laundry out for everybody. But I'm saying we need a few people in our lives that we can confess our sin to, that we can just be totally real with, and so that we can pray for each other and find healing. You know, when we keep things inside, when we keep sin kind of in the closet and think, oh, I don't want anybody to know about that part of my life, you know, that has power over us then. Then the sin has power over us. But when we confess it, when we are open, we say, hey, I got a problem. I need help with this. All of a sudden, that the grip that sin has on our life gets loosened. And God gets invited into the equation. And amazing things, transformative things happen. So we need to pray for each other. We need to confess our sin to one another. Getting near the end. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. One thing to show hospitality, it's another to show it without grumbling, isn't it? 1 Peter 4, 8 to 10 says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. There's a lot of one another's in that verse, amen? It's a lot of them. Showing hospitality. Now, some of you, like, hospitality is like second nature. And having someone over every weekend, having someone over, like, you would have someone over every day if you could, because hospitality just, like, comes out of you. And that's great. Now, there's others. On the other side, you might feel like, well, I'm more of an introvert, and having someone into my space is a big deal. And maybe once a year I'll have someone over, but I'm going to protect my space and protect my everything. But look at what the Bible says. Show hospitality. You notice the Bible doesn't say, if you're an extrovert, show hospitality. The Bible just says, show hospitality, right? So this is very important for community, for this one anothering stuff we're about, right? So if you haven't had like someone from this congregation over to your house in the last month, I would encourage you, invite someone over. It doesn't have to be for like a 10-course meal. It could just be for a coffee. But show hospitality in some way. And I would love to see every family here connecting with each other. And not just the people that you know and are really comfortable with, but invite new people over. Connect with new people. Show hospitality to someone that you've never shown hospitality to before. And do it without grumbling. And God will bless you for this, no doubt. No doubt, serving one another, and if you're not sure, how to do this, I can point you in some directions. I know some people here, and you probably know them too, who just love to show hospitality, and they can even encourage you and help you with that. So, what's the review now for this? And I want to encourage you to pick two and apply this week. The one we just looked at, kind of in reverse order, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Encourage one another. Stir one another up to love and good works. Teach and counsel one another as the word of Christ dwells in you. Submit to one another. Be kind and forgive one another. Bear one another's burdens. Honor and care for one another as part of the body of Christ. Live in harmony with one another. And as Jesus said, serve one another. Love one another. When we see repetition in Scripture, our ears should perk up. This whole idea of one anothering, this whole idea of community is all over the Bible. I believe it or not, I had 4 more pages and 6 more points. And I woke up this morning at 6 o'clock, and you're going to be thankful. The Lord just said, just walk through those, Ben. So I'm going to give you homework. You can take, if you want my notes, I'll send them to you this week. But I'm going to give you homework. Look at Acts chapter 2 and 38 to the end. This is the early church. This is the day the Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost. And look at the community they had in Acts chapter 2 from roughly 38 to the end. And look at the verbs, how they devoted, how they shared, how they worshiped, how they prayed together, they met together. This is what Christian community can really look like. And as it did in Acts chapter 2. And you know, we have bits of that here. We certainly do by the grace of God. And it's marvelous. So in your own time this week, be encouraged in that. And in the meantime, may the Spirit of God draw you closer to Him. And know this. So important. It's Christ in us. Right? Don't hear me this morning saying, Ben wants me to do this, 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 and this. No. What I want is God in you to do these things. Amen? Remember what Paul said, the Apostle Paul, Galatians 2:20. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. How am I going to do this one anothering? I can't. I don't get along with that person. That person who sits on the other side of the church has totally different interests than me. How can we do this? Christ can do this in you, through you, with you. Okay, so let's partner with Jesus on this. Amen? Let's pray. So awesome, God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your instruction. And I want to thank you, Lord, for the grace that you give us to be the kind of Christ followers that you want us to be. Christ followers in community, building meaningful relationships, connecting not just on Sunday morning for a few minutes, but connecting during the week, praying with one another, studying your word together, serving one another. Help us to be that 1+2 Christian in this church. And Father, have your way in us. Have your way in your church that you love so much and that you died for. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite Brad and Olivia and Brent to lead us in the last song, Cornerstone. Let's stand together if you're able, and let's sing.
Anchor holds within the veil. Short announcements. Listening to Pastor Ben on that 1+2, and I'm thinking, oh, that's just right for the nominating committee. So when the nominating committee phones you and you see the caller ID and you think, oh, that might be them, I'm not going to answer that. Yeah. Think twice. I think there is a list in the narthex for people to sign up for any committee they think they might like to be part of. If not, you know, go with your passions and with your interests. And if someone calls and says, would you like to be part of finance? And you say, that's not my bag, but I love to be on social committee. Then, you know, nothing, even if you're asked to do one thing, you can certainly offer to do another. So please, it's one way of serving the Lord. The corn roast here tonight at 4:00. Wednesday is the